On today's Radio Chatter podcast, a couple real salt-of-the-earth rock and roll veterans. First of all, my recent interview with Josh Todd from Buck Cherry. You know, they have a new record coming out. They're touring all summer. We'll talk about that and more being racing, because he's a racing fan just like I am. Plus, for Vintage Chatter, which we haven't done in quite a few podcasts here, I'll replay portions of my interview I did a couple years back with James Hetfield from Metallica, and some really cool stuff that you might not know about those guys. All coming up today.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. Off.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
Hey, Josh, how are you? It's Meltdown here in Detroit. How you doing, man?
Detroit, Rock City. I'm good, man. It's out here on the road. Got a day off.
Yeah, one of the hardest working bands in a show business. There's no question about that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what everybody says.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about you a couple weeks back, and it sounds kind of strange to say this, but the Grand Prix was here in Detroit. I know you're a big race fan and stuff with the go-karts and such. Have you ever had the inkling of the challenge to hop behind the wheel of one of those things?
You mean Indy? The Indianapolis Grand Prix, where Juan Pablo Montoya came from 30th and won?
Not that one. The next week here in Detroit, where they had the Grand Prix on Belle Isle.
Oh, the Grand Prix with the Indy cars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it got rain, that was a great race.
Yeah, that was rain, and more rain. But have you ever gotten a chance to get behind the wheel of one of them?
No, I would love that. I would love to do that. But you know, my dream would be to drive a stock car. You know, I really like stock car racing, so I'd like to do that. But right now, I mean, go-kart racing is amazing. It's incredible, and it's really hard to win. I mean, the margin, you know, the difference in speed from card to card is like, you know, hundreds of a second. So it's very exciting racing and pure racing, and there's so many great tracks in the United States and Europe. I mean, worldwide, it's incredible.
Now, some bands in the past, I've known, like the guys from Three Doors Down and whatnot, they bring their Harleys out on tour and stuff. Can you kart around your go-kart?
I mean, that's one of the things I want to do. One of these days, I want to take a whole summer and tour, but have my own situation so that I can race go-kart races and test throughout the country while I'm, you know, doing shows and have my go-karts with me. You know, but it's a lot of overhead, and right now it's just not, you know, it doesn't work out with the budget and stuff. But you know, eventually, I would like to get to that place.
Yeah, not in the cards yet. Now, you just mentioned NASCAR racing and stuff. Of course, NASCAR is this weekend. Every race here at Michigan International Speedway, I host the Budweiser Acceleration Club with Kevin Harvick, and I always have a great time talking with him. And they always tell me, don't bring up Kyle Busch, so I won't. But I can bring up Kyle Busch with you, because Bring It Back is actually, tell everybody about the latest song. I'll let you explain the whole thing.
Yeah, Bring It On Back is the first single off our new record, Rock and Roll, which drops August 21st. And it was one of the first songs we had written. And, you know, it's just a quintessential Buck Cherry song, you know. At that time, you know, I'm a huge motorsports fan, as you know, and I really like the Busch brothers and how they drive, you know. I love what they bring to NASCAR. They're so good for NASCAR, you know, because I feel like they're the last of the guys that are just, you know, going out there and taking it, you know, and driving aggressively and, you know, speaking their mind. And I like all that. You know, I wish more drivers did that, but they're so afraid of losing their sponsors or losing their ride. And I understand that too. But I really like the way they drive. I'm so glad, you know, Rowdy is back in the car and he's doing all right. And he's, I think he's got a win coming around the corner if he just, you know, keeps up. Hopefully this weekend it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of strange to see a NASCAR season start without any of the Busch brothers.
I know, but you know, Kurt has done so well this year since he got back in the car.
Yes, he has.
And man, that's one thing about Kurt, man. He's great, you know, when dealing with adversity, when he has to deal with a lot of that outside stuff, you know, and I think it's fantastic.
Now, you're talking about the new record, Rock and Roll, coming out in, is it in August, I think? August 21st, does that sound right?
August 21st, Rock and Roll drops. You can pre-order the record right now on iTunes and get Bring It On Back. And it's a great record, 10-song record. It's on our new label, F-Bomb Records. And man, we're so proud of this record. It's a lot of fun, and it's hard to sit on all the songs and not be playing the rest of them live right now, but we got to wait until then. But we're playing Bring It On Back live right now, and the shows are going off.
Now, I was thinking when I saw the name of the record, I'm like, rock and roll. Well, that's a perfect name for a Buck Cherry record, because you guys are pretty much the quintessential rock and roll band, and I can't believe there hasn't been an album named that in the past.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like the forbidden fruit right now, and everybody's so scared of it. We're like, let's just title the record Rock and Roll, because we've been doing rock records for almost 2 decades now. So, they were saying rock is dead when we first started, you know, so that was in 1999. So, we've been trucking along here, having a long career while everybody's saying rock is dead. So it was just time to do that.
Josh Todd from Buck Cherry is on the radio with us right here on 101 WRIF. The Riff, the new record, like you just mentioned, Rock and Roll, drops in August 21st. And you were talking, I think I saw in one interview, about certain bands going out with backing tracks. It's kind of funny that you mentioned this, because when I was talking with Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down a couple weeks ago, when they were in town doing the Detroit Grand Prix, he was kind of mentioning the same thing. It's kind of like this theme that keeps building up. So are you seeing more bands using backing tracks and Pro Tool rigs under stages and stuff as the longer you tour?
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why rock is dead. Like, it's like a Britney Spears concert now with rock music on a lot of these bands. And I don't want to mention names, because whatever, you know, people got to do what they got to do. But the majority of the rock shows out there now are all, there's pre-recorded, you know, vocals and pre-recorded instruments, and some lead singers aren't even singing the songs. They're just lip syncing, and it's like, what is going on? And even like when you listen to like mainstream rock now, it's like on the radio, there's like at any given moment, there's like 30, 40 tracks of instruments and stuff going on throughout the song. And it's like, I just feel like everything is so muddy and watered down, and everything sounds the same. And, you know, there's like no space in music anymore. Like, there's no space in rock music. And I think that's what makes, you know, rock music have more of an impact and more punch. And, you know, so, I mean, at least that's what we like. So we're just sticking to that plan and just making traditional, great, you know, dry rock and roll records.
Yeah, and as you were just saying, I was thinking to myself, back when Lit Up and Crazy Bitch and stuff came out, it kind of cut through.
Yeah, you know, it all came together at that time, which is great, you know. And we've had, you know, with our first record, we have always put, like, you know, ballads, like, you know, Sorry was actually bigger than Lit Up. I mean, right. Crazy Bitch on that record. So we've had, you know, on our first record, we had Lit Up, and we had, you know, for the movies, and all our records, we try to, like, have rockers and mid-tempo songs and ballads, because all of our favorite rock records had that going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, you really couldn't have the Sorry sex toys, probably. That probably wouldn't work.
No. The Crazy Bitch sex toys have been a lot of fun, man. We had a lot of fun with that. And we have some of them at the shows every night. We sign them every night. It's pretty fun.
I was going to ask, are they like in the merch booth and stuff? I mean,
yep, they sure are. They're in the merch booth. We have a tattoo kit. We got a dildo. Right.
Yeah, now for people that don't know, you guys got these Crazy Bitch toys. And I mean, a lot of research and development went into this stuff.
Yeah, you would think. We teamed up with a company that's been doing it a long time, Doc Johnson, and we had to go in and look at all their plethora of goodies, and we formulated a plan. It was pretty fun.
How long did this plan take?
Not very long, as you know. You know, we're veterans. We went in there and figured it out pretty quick.
Another thing I can't believe hasn't happened until 2015, a rock band with sex toys. Or has it? I can't think of any.
No, you know, I mean, I think it was the natural thing to do, you know. I mean, if you know what kind of a phenomenon that song is, and how many crazy broads come up and tell us that they're a crazy bitch, you know.
Listen, you're talking to a 25-year radio veteran, and all girls are the only ones that call for that song. And when I'm out in a bar somewhere and I play it, the girls go bananas. I know, you're right.
It is insane. Yeah. I thought that it would, you know, like, we never thought that we thought that that would just be like a record song, that it would just be like something that our core fan base would really like when we play it live, and that would be it. We never thought it would get on the radio. We never thought, you know, we thought it would rub some women the wrong way. And it's like, if I had a dollar for every time a girl said, I'm the craziest bitch you've ever seen, I'd be like, I'd be rich.
Yeah, right. Well, you've done pretty well with that song right there. Hey, yeah. What are your five favorite singers? What are some of the vocalists you look up to?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, people are going to be blown away by it. I mean, there's like front men and then there's singers. And I think the first front man that I really thought was amazing was Ian MacKay or MacKay. I don't know how he pronounces it, but from Minor Threat. And, like, he was the first guy I was like, wow, this dude is, like, incredible. And then, because I grew up in Orange County, California, and it was, like, a huge punk rock movement, and that's all I listened to for a while. But then I would sneak in my sister's room and listen to all her, like, Prince and Billy Idol records and The Time and Yaz, and I really got into Prince, and I just thought, this dude is incredible, you know, so... He was a big influence on me. And then, you know, when I started listening to, like, real rock records, I really loved Bon Scott and Brian Johnson and Steven Tyler and Robert Plant, those guys. And then, you know, I listened to a lot of funk music, like old funk. I love Stevie Wonder and James Brown and those guys. So, you know, it's kind of spread out.
Mm-hmm. And you've had a chance to even open up some shows for some of these guys, AC/DC and Aerosmith, that you tour with before in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, we've been fortunate to tour with a lot of our heroes. I mean, we played Woodstock 99, and Keith and I got to take a picture with James Brown, which was, like, unreal, huh. You know? And, you know, we played the Millennium New Year show in Japan, Osaka, with Aerosmith. We got to do about five shows with AC/DC, one of them being... Madison Square Garden on the Time Bomb record. It was incredible. Wow. And, you know, Kiss, Iggy Pop. We did Iggy Pop in Detroit and at the State Theater. That was amazing.
Yeah, of course. Iggy Pop grew up not too far away from there. Well, you guys are coming through town, the Stars and Stripes Festival on June 26th with Hoobastank opening up the show right there. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'll be talking with Kevin Harvick, as I do every race day here in Michigan, twice a year. What would you ask Kevin Harvick?
I would ask Kevin Harvick if he's got his son a go-kart yet. And then I also would ask Kevin Harvick, how is his car so good from the rest of the field? It's like incredible how this guy has the fastest car every week in and week out. And I want to know what their secret is.
He's got 10 out of 14 second place finishes this year. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It's insane. Like, and you know what? I have a friend, and I bet $50 a race through the whole NASCAR series on Sprint Cup, the Xfinity series, and trucks. And so, you know, if we have this thing, like, if you win the week before, then you get first pick the next week. And if you're, I'm getting killed by having Kevin Harvick right now. I picked... Like, he beat me in Pocono because I picked Carl Edwards, which is Mr. Inconsistency. I don't know what I was thinking, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I was really happy for Martin Truex last week.
Well, Carl's won at Pocono before, so it's not really a bad choice.
I know. And he was like, he had a fast car, and what happened to the guy?
Yeah, really.
Started going backwards the whole race. I'm like, come on.
And not to get too much into NASCAR, but it was good to see Martin Truex win because I know his wife or his girlfriend over there is fighting cancer, and I guess she's a real inspiration to a lot of people.
I mean, just the whole thing, the single car team and that as well. I mean, you know, you're just rooting for those guys. It's awesome.
Well, Josh, great to talk to you. Have fun out there on tour. We'll see you guys here on the 26th of June at the Stars and Stripes Festival. And good luck with the new record. Rock and Roll drops August 21st, and we'll be checking it out right here in Detroit. Thanks, Josh.
You're going to really love it. Thank you, man. I'll see you soon.
And now, Vintage Cheddar.
Like I said before, I haven't done a vintage chatter in a few podcasts, so I thought, what the heck? Let's break out one of the big ones. How about James from Metallica? It was 2 years ago this June when the guys from Metallica did their Orion Music and More Festival on Belle Isle, just outside of Detroit. Now, this Orion Fest started in Atlantic City, and it's kind of well documented that in neither place did it make a lot of money. I guess they needed like 30 or 40,000 people to show up here in Detroit, and about 20, 22,000, something like that, showed up throughout the entire weekend. Well, actually, I guess when Metallica was playing, because that was the night I was pretty much there. The Red Hot Chili Peppers played the night before. Couple that with the movie they put out, which was actually really cool, but also a big, huge money hole for the band. They stopped doing the Orion Fest, at least as of now. Maybe they'll bring it out sometime in the future. Who knows? Anyways, Metallica has played a bunch of great shows right here in Detroit, and one of them was the turn of the century, the Millennium Show with Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and Seven Dust. Well, I asked him about that show because it was a few months earlier I had a chance to talk with Kid Rock, and it sounded like this. I was going through some old interviews, and it's really funny because I was talking with Kid Rock back in November, and I asked him about the Millennium Show with you guys and Ted Nugent and stuff, and he said at the end of the show, he was kind of like posing for cameras, and he reached around and grabbed Nugent, like, you know, around the waist or something. He goes, "Hey, you got a gun on you," and Ted says, "Yeah, don't touch it, it's loaded."
He did that to me, and I said, "No, that's not a gun. Those aren't pillows." Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you never know what happens when you hug Ted Nugent.
That is true. So you guys,
that was
just
a blast, man.
Yeah,
I remember that show.
Yeah, no doubt. And everyone was worried if like planes were gonna start falling out of the sky. Remember that?
Oh, the Y2K deal.
Yeah, the Y2K. Yeah. And they thought every computers were gonna start shutting down and everything. But so we talked about that, and of course, a lot about the music festival, which was a couple of years ago. So I'm not gonna bore you with the details of that. But one thing we did talk about was James's love of cars. It's no secret he's a hot rod guy, and apparently he has a lot of them, as he explains here. All this stuff is pretty cool. Do you bring your own cars in?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I drive. I'm going to drive all the way there.
How many cars you have, by the way?
Yeah, probably. Sounds really stupid, but I've lost count. I'm sure the wife knows. She really knows.
What about motorcycles? Have you lost count of your motorcycles,
yeah,
too?
I got less of those.
You got less of them. All right, there you go.
Less of them. So, you know, the car thing is a big, you know, big passion of mine. So last year I brought two cars and a bike, and then I'll do the same this year. Obviously being in the Motor City, going to have lots of, you know, people around there that, you know, show up with hopefully their passion, something they've been working on in their garage, whether it's a custom, you know, muscle car, whatever it is. And we'll hopefully see, you know, obviously Detroit's the kind of the hotbed for speed. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
So each band member got to like kind of do their own thing as far as the Orion Music and More Fest went. So James brought in the hot rods and the muscle cars, and some fans brought in theirs as well. And Robert brought in, you know, he had like skateboarding ramps and Vans footwear and different things like that. Kirk had his horror movie stuff with like vintage, you know, posters and vintage costumes and what have you. And Lars did this movie thing. I guess he's big into movies. But also there was this Metallica museum, and apparently, Lars is the guy, according to James, who kind of collects stuff, all Metallica. Now, talk a little bit about the Metallica Museum. What kind of stuff would we see in there?
The Metallica Museum, you know, guitars from way back, drum sets, probably Cliff's, you know, some of Cliff's stuff, maybe stage gear, set lists, you know, lyrics. You betcha, you know, kind of. I don't know, probably just empty out Lars's closet. Lars the hoarder.
Is he the one in the band who like saves all the Metallica stuff?
He is the one.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got catering menus from 1989, you know, in Springfield, you know, Missouri, whatever. He collects everything, and it's a fire hazard. I keep telling him, trying to warn him.
I've had the privilege to meet James and interview him on all sorts of tours. I think going back to the first time in 1991 when the Black Record came out. I mean, huge monster success. And they actually did the pit, you know, and I got to sit in the pit, which was really cool. The stage was like shaped like a diamond, and they brought radio station listeners and fan club members into the inner workings of the stage. It was really cool. I remember one time before the Binge and Purge tour started, it was the summer of, if I'm not mistaken, 1994, and they were opening up their tour in Buffalo at Darien Lake Fun Country, which is kind of like, you know, a Cedar Point, a Six Flags, something like that. Anyways, on one half, you got Metallica rehearsing all weekend long, and on the other half of this big, gigantic fairground field, whatever, you have this, like, Christian camp or something. So it was a little bit strange. So anyways, I'm interviewing Lars in this backstage trailer before the show, and it was live on the radio. I brought all my gear backstage, like I said, live on the radio. It was really cool and a little bit frightening at the same time because everybody in the parking lot had the radio station on, and they were all listening. So I'm getting ready to wrap up the interview, and off to the side of us was this complete full drum kit. And so I asked Lars, I said, hey, would you mind going on the drum kit and doing the end of Sad But True? And he looked at me kind of puzzled. And he said, sure, why not? So I take my microphone over there. This is all live on the radio. And he gets behind the drum kit. Hits the cymbal. I think that's the coolest thing ever. I start thanking him, you know, for doing that for me and for the interview and good luck on the tour and the whole thing. And as I'm doing that, James walks in from behind. I hear the door open up, and I look behind, and there's James Hetfield standing there. So I just said the first thing that came to mind. I said, hey, I got my Harley out in the parking lot if you want to take it for a spin. And James looks at me, and he laughs, and he goes, no, I'm drunk. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyways, had a chance to talk with those guys for a few minutes afterwards, and they've always been really cool. Can't say a bad word about the boys from Metallica from my point of view. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. Email me anytime, meltdown@wrif.com. You can also hit me up on the Twitterverse @meltdownwrif. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast, and we'll do it all over again soon.